Thank you, young people. Please take your Bibles, and older people too. Take your Bibles and turn again to Luke chapter 15. We're going to go a little bit different direction than we did this morning with the same passage of Scripture. What we're learning is not only the text of Scripture, but how to handle Scripture. I think it's very important for us as Christian people so that we don't mishandle what the Bible says. This is Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. I want to read the story again to you so that we can refer to it as we go. Luke 15, 11. The story of the prodigal son. It says, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain that have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And the brother was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a fatted calf, a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was fitting that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Wonderful, wonderful story that the Lord Jesus told. And it is, of course, as we learned this morning, God is emphasizing some things in response to what the publicans and sinners were thinking. Look at chapter 15, verse 1 again. Then drew near unto him all publicans and the sinners to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured. The Pharisees and the scribes had a problem with Jesus ministering to lower class people. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And so what the Lord did is he gave three parables, one about the lost sheep, one about the lost coin, and then one about the lost son. And we learned from the story that the whole purpose of this wasn't to give a sermon for the rescue mission, although it works just fine, the prodigal son. But what the Pharisees were doing is they were measuring their own righteousness by looking at others who were more messed up than they were. And we shouldn't do that. And Jesus cuts right to the heart of that. Jesus says that God does not rejoice in all the religiosity and form and liturgy that was empty that the Pharisees were performing on a daily basis, surface religion, self-confident sinners. No, the Lord rejoices in one sinner that repents. And he repeated that three times in that chapter. God rejoices in broken, penitent hearts. The other thing that we learned as well is there's no sin that you can commit that God can't forgive. The heart of the passage is an answer to the self-righteous, self-confident, arrogant attitude that some people had when they looked at others who were not as well off as they or who had committed social sins of some kind. And the Lord is saying, look, these are the ones that are coming to me. You guys aren't. You are rejecting me. These people are accepting me. I rejoice in that, and I condemn you. That's the heart of the passage. Now, having said that, there are some other lessons that we can learn from this passage that are secondary. They are not primary applications. They are secondary applications. When you do secondary application, you got to be careful that you don't make the Bible say something it doesn't say. So we're going to be careful tonight and just observe some things that the younger son teaches us, that is the prodigal. We're going to try to observe some things that the father teaches us. And if we have time, we'll observe some things that the older son teaches us. All right? Let's just look at this for just a little while this evening. First of all, the younger son, the guy that said, I want all my goodies now, give them to me, give me my Corvette out of the garage, give me my bank account, give me my CDs, I'm out of here. What can we learn from that? Here's what we can learn. This is for young people, and this is also for adults. You are free to do wrong if you want to. You can choose to go the wrong direction. You can do it. But when you do, you're going to be deceived by sin. That boy never thought that he would end up where he ended up. I know there's some pig farmers in here. How many of you have fed pigs? How many of you have? I know the pig farmers have. Okay. Would you enjoy eating what you were feeding to them? When I went to school in Canada years ago, I worked on the farm. And we call it slop. I mean, it was nasty. I don't know what it was. It was food left over from the dining hall at the school where I was going. Big milk cans full of this stuff. And these pigs would be making all these noises all at one time when you came in, and you would take this and pour it into this trough, and then everybody, all the pigs were quiet. They were just eating all this muck and crud and stuff and goo. I mean, I don't know how nasty to make it. It just wasn't good at all. This boy did not think that he would ever be in a position where he would actually want to eat the food that was being fed to pigs. Let me tell you something. Adults and young people, listen. Sin is deceitful. You may say, oh, I can do this and I'm not going to end up like those other ones. Okay, go ahead, do it. God is not going to stop you. You are free to do wrong. But I'm telling you, sin is deceitful. And I want to say something else about this young man. You know what the tragic day was? The tragic day was not when he went to his father and said, give me the dough, I'm out of here. The tragic day happened many times before that when in his mind he left home. Somebody introduced him to the seductive stories about the big city. It started about knowledge. There was an attraction. There was an imagination. There was a delight. And oh, how often that happens, not only with teenagers, but it happens with adults. Adults commit adultery. Oh, how sad that is. The grass looks greener on the other side. And so they're enticed and they sin against God. Do you know why adultery is so wrong? Not just because it's a sin against your mate. You know when this fellow prayed and he said, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. Adultery is a sin against God because it's so unlike God. God is a promise maker who keeps his promises. And when we make a promise at the marriage altar and don't keep it, we are unlike God. That's why adultery is so bad. Most people don't think of it that way. They just think of it, you know, horizontally, how it affects other people. Yes, it does. But it's a sin against God. This is God's universe, and he says it's wrong because it does not reflect my nature. I am a being that makes a promise and keeps it. You need to be the same. That's why it's so wrong. But this guy, the tragic day was probably many days before he actually went to his dad and said, "Give me the money, I'm out of here." He had a bad friend. Maybe he had a bad song, a wicked book. If we were to modernize it today, a computer screen, a pornography, a dirty joke, an immodestly dressed person. All of those things began to fill his mind and made him think that the grass was greener on the other side. Sin is attractive and sin is fun. I remember years ago, I preached at an Army base, an induction center in South Carolina, North Carolina, I can't remember what it was, but all these guys came in to join, and they were given permission to go to a religious service if they wanted to. And I was there with a large trombone choir group, and I got to preach to all these guys. I've never preached to any other crowd that has had that many unsaved people in it, unless it might have been when I preached a funeral recently for Mike Swigert, when there was a lot of folks there. But in this case, I preached hard, and one of the things I said was this. I said, sin is fun. Sin is fun. And, you know, I got a ripple of laughter. They knew it was true. They didn't realize how serious it was. Sin is fun. If sin wasn't fun, everybody wouldn't be doing it. And to try to say that it's not fun is nonsense. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. I don't like the hymn book that changes. It says, for thee all the follies of sin I resign. I don't know what follies are, but pleasures sounds better. Because Moses left the pleasures of Egypt and chose to associate with the people of God. Sin is pleasurable. It is fun, but it will bite you. It will bite you. Getting into sin is often like buying something on credit. You get the pleasure now and you make the payment later on. There's a sports store up in Mishawaka. Maybe you know what the name of it is. Is it Old Navy? Is that a sports store? What's the one right next to it? Dick's. Yeah, I think it was in Dick's Sports. I went in there one time and there was a sign right there. It said this, play now, pay later. Boy, does that preach. Man, that's good. I tell you what. I think I even took my phone out and took a picture of it there, you know. So he played now and he paid later big time. Because when he comes back, you know, he spent all his inheritance. He has the relationship with his father. But he has lost all that he would have had. Daddy didn't say, okay, I'm going to give you another lump. No, it was gone. He lost. Listen, when you sin, you can be forgiven and you can be cleansed. But you cannot restore that which has been lost. Many times you cannot. What a lesson we learn. It's easy to go down the wrong path, and it's much more difficult to turn around and go back the other way. When you come home, you find true forgiveness, but there are consequences. Jesus was saying to those proud guys, he was saying, yes, the sinners that I mix with, yes, 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 they fell for a lot of the enticements and social sins. They ruined themselves, but like the prodigal that I told you a story about, they repented. You know, there are folks that need to repent not of social and moral sins, but they need to repent of their own self-righteousness. You cannot be saved. You cannot trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior until you turn from your own righteousness. You can't have His until you turn from your own. You can't do it. Any more than you can't have Him if you're going to hold on to your sin. You can't do that. The Bible speaks of repentance. Repentance and faith. They go together like the bullet and the bullet hole. I mean, when you shoot the wall, the bullet hole is there and the bullet is there. Repentance and faith, they're both there at the same time. You put your trust in Christ, and when you really put your trust in Him, you are turning from your own self-righteousness, you are turning from your sinfulness, and you are putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The young man, the prodigal, teaches us a lot if we will listen. What does the father teach us in this story? The father teaches us a number of things. One of them is this: our sovereign God does not force us to do right. He doesn't force us to do right. If you want to do wrong, you can do it. This boy came to his father and said, "Give me my stuff, I'm out of here." Dad said, okay. God will not put his hand on the scruff of your neck and make you do what you don't want to do. He gave you a choice. Our sovereign God doesn't force us to do right. Our righteous God does not shelter us from the consequences of sin. He does not shelter us from the consequences of sin. The prodigal, as I mentioned, he lost in his inheritance. Somebody said this, and I think it's really true. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. You think you can. I'm going to do this, but I don't think it's going to hurt me that much. Sure, you go ahead. You go ahead and do it, and you'll find out. Our righteous God does not shelter us from the consequences of our sin. Our loving God does seek the sinner, though. I think it's interesting in our story, when the prodigal is heading home, it says the daddy saw him way far off he saw him. Why did he see him far off? Probably because he looked down that road every day. Probably because he wanted his boy back. Some of you have seen a sign, I don't think it's there anymore, out on 19, that used to be out there. Son, Jesus still loves you. You know that a brokenhearted father put that sign up there. That was the heart of what Jesus was saying to not only the people that were down and out, but he was saying it to the Pharisees. He was saying, look, I want you to be saved. That's the heart of God. Our loving God does seek the sinner, just like the shepherd seeks the one sheep out of 100, just like the lady seeks the lost coin. Jesus said, I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. And our compassionate God is ready to forgive. He is ready to forgive. Our merciful God fully forgives. Look at verse 20. This is really something. He arose, came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And we got to be careful not to say something the Bible doesn't say. But I like the idea of this is the only picture in all of the Bible that shows God in a hurry. Now, I know that God really isn't in a hurry, but it shows the heart of God anxious to save those who come to him. He kissed him. I remember I saw an example of that just in my own life years ago. My uncle passed away, and I'll be preaching his funeral Friday. My aunt passed away a year or two ago, and I preached hers. I lived with them for three years I think it was, and they ministered to me in the graduate school of Hard Knocks. And one time my uncle was out of town, and so I was the one that was supposed to preach. Well, I was not very experienced, and I was sweating it like a rented mule. You know, I was really worried about this thing. And I had to study, and I wanted to study real hard. And something happened where I became very, very impatient with my aunt because she was wanting me to do something or whatever. I don't know what it was. And I got mad at her. Don't you realize I got to preach tomorrow? Don't you know? You know. Well, of course she knew that. And I really let her have it, you know. And then I went over there to study and get before the Lord and seek God's face. You know, that doesn't work very well. You know that? When you got dirt all over you, you don't want to approach the throne. And I was over there. I thought, oh, man, look what I did. And so I went back over and I told my aunt, I said, please forgive me for that. And she got in my face and just kissed me all over my face. She just kissed me. That's the heart of God towards sinners. That's the heart of God toward backslidden Christians. He don't want to slap you around. He wants you to come to him. And when you come to him with a repentant and broken heart, he'll kiss you all over your face. You've sinned against him. You've offended him. And he wants you to come home. Our merciful God forgives. The older son teaches us a few things as well. The older son teaches us that you can be right on the outside and wrong on the inside, doesn't he? All these years, Father, I've served you. Well, this son of yours went out and did that and went with harlots. Why did he know about that? Probably because he wanted to be out there too. But he didn't have enough guts to do it for whatever reason. His heart was not right with his father. You can look right on the outside and be dirty and wrong on the inside. A lot of good lessons from this passage. The main ones, of course, are the ones that I believe are the very purpose of the passage, and that is that we should not measure our righteousness by looking at other people. We should know that the heart of God rejoices in a repentant, broken heart, a broken spirit. We should know that. We should know that. And dear Christian, if you're living in sin, I want to tell you, talk to him. Get it right. Get it right. Come into his presence. You got dirt all over you. Get into his presence and get it right. He'll love you. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. Sometimes there's consequences, but there's always forgiveness. There's always blessing. There's always cleansing, and there's always joy when you come to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse is for Christians. He is faithful and just. Just means holy. It means righteous. He is righteous in forgiving us because he paid the price for our sins on the cross. Let's learn lessons from the prodigal, from the father, and from the son who stayed home. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer, shall we? What lesson does God want you to learn? Will you talk to him right now? If you need to get up from where you are and walk down that dusty road, you know who you're going to find waiting for you? Yep, your heavenly father. Yep, he's right there. He's looking down the road saying, where are you? Been missing you. Come back to me. Will you do business with God right now? Just in the quiet of this moment. Talk to him. Come back. Come back. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We're grateful for your mercies to us. We thank you that you love us. You loved us even though you knew we were going to mess up. And you've chosen to forgive. And you delight in broken repentance. A heart that is humble before God. Help us, O God, not to be content with outward righteousness. Help us, Lord, to be hungry, not for pig slop, but for righteousness, for holiness. We pray in Jesus' name.